there's no change. Isaiah pronounced that. So, folks, I think all we need to do is look around us. Am I not right? Will you join with me, as I've already begun, and I pray you will too, to pray for our new administration. Every day that God will give them and enlighten them in His will and His way, and then give them the courage to stand up and to do that which is right. Folks, we need to be praying for them. We pick up tonight in our scripture after Paul had spent a night in Antonia's dungeon, and now he answers for himself in our scripture starting in chapter 23, verse 1. I want to read that again as we go through verse 10. Verse 10. As we look at this passage together, did you send in the 21st? In our passage of scriptures, we read this. Look at that. Let's look at that together in chapter verse 1 of chapter 23. It says, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Annas commanded him, them that stood by, to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God will smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the rulers of my people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angels nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and bring him unto the castle." Let's pray. Father, we bow to give you thanks for today and for this opportunity of worship. We pray asking you, Lord, to help us to look to you for guidance and direction. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, and you would bring about that in our life which needs to take place, knowing, Lord, that we as people live each and every day, and every day should be a growing experience in you. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand and to realize that we are to live in a right relationship with you. Living in that right relationship with you, Lord, means that we are open and available for you to take us and to use us for your glory. And I pray, Lord, tonight that each one of us would be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. As we look together at this passage, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand and to recognize and realize the opportunities that's afforded us each and every day. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless and be with those that are less fortunate tonight. You know each of those that were mentioned in our prayer meeting, the prayer rooms. And God, we pray that you would work in their lives as only you can. You know, Lord, those that are going through and facing difficult and trying circumstances. There'll be those that's facing surgery this week. We pray, God, that you would bless and be with them and bless the doctors and use them in the facilities to bring about your redemptive will and purpose. And Father, even now as an act of faith on our part, we're going to thank you and to praise you for what you are going to do, what you have done, as we look to you through faith, knowing, Lord, that you will do that which is right and good and redemptive. So we thank you and praise you as we look to you in faith, believing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And I'm already getting hot, so I'm going to pull this coat off. Is that all right? Anybody wants to wear it? Well, if I can get that snapped on my pocket, I will. Okay, we'll do it like that. In our passage of scriptures we've read, we see Paul is his affirmation about what transpired, what happened was what he was supposed to be giving. But in the process, we see that he relates the opportunity that's afforded to him to stand up and to be counted for the things of God. And the first thing that we see, as we see an honest confession in verse 1, we talked about this last time. It comes from the word conscience, and he says, his conscience there, he says, it's void of offenses toward God. He has a good conscience. That term, good conscience, is one that is in perfect harmony with God. When we think about being in perfect harmony with God, look what he says in 24 verse 16. He says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offenses toward God and toward men. Paul lived and he acted in a good conscience. But not only that, he talked about the clean conscience. The term clean or clear conscience. And this, my friend, is a guarantee of a blessed life. Whenever I say a blessed life, when a person lives with a clear or a clean conscience, they are living a blessed life. Listen to me. One who does not, if you can be a child of God, one who does not and does not have a clear or clean conscience, he is not going to walk the walk that God has set before him, the path that God wants him with, and therefore he will meet struggles along his Christian life because he's not living the way that God would have him to live, not going the way God would have him to go. So here we see he gave an honest confession of his life, of what had transpired before, as he said there with them, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. So Paul is saying from this time back, God has been with me and I have walked with God and I have been an instrument in God's hands to take and to use. Like Paul, we need to walk close to God, do we not? In the day in which we live, we need to be open to do what God would have us to do, go where God would have us to go. The second thing we see is a holy indignation. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, being smacked was only permissible as someone disgraded or downgraded God's honor. Here we see that Paul was told to be slapped. Paul knew not he was the high priest. Why did he not know he was the high priest? There's a lot of speculation on this. Did I put it up there? Yeah, some scholars say that he hadn't been in Jerusalem for nearly 3 years and therefore he would not have known the newly appointed high priest. Paul knew that the high priest was supposed to have been those who followed the command of the Aaronic priesthood, but yet this was someone who was outside and opposite of that, and Paul did not know him. There's another thing that they say. This proves that Paul suffered from poor eyesight. Poor eyesight because of what he said. Turn to Galatians 4:15 just a moment. Look what Paul says there. Galatians 4:15. He says, where is then this blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Paul's speaking to those at Galatia because they had departed from the gospel, the truth of the gospel, trying to take unto them some of the teachings of the Jewish law, the Jewish faith, and they were trying to enter and saying, well, if you can't live a Christian life without taking these unto yourself. And Paul's saying it's not by the law, but it's by faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. He's saying there that, but he understood that his problem was maybe poor eyesight. Others thought he was using irony as a defense or a point of defense. Whether he was or not, we don't know. But look at verse 5, what it says. Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the rulers of the people. We understand that he's talking about Exodus 22, 28. If you want to look it up, you may and you can, because Paul was wrong, and then he apologized for it. He realized that he had done wrong, but he used scripture in the apology. Then we see also the high priest business. As high priest, he was not to condemn the wicked nor have them smitten, but he was to remind them and to carry out the laws that were there. And this is the same thing we see today in our high court ruling. If you read Deuteronomy 21:5, you can see that. He was to settle court arguments and other things, and therefore he was not to be one who caused one to be smitten. That reminds us of our Supreme Court today, does it not? Where they are not there to make laws as they have done. They're there to make sure the laws of the land are carried out according to the Constitution of the United States of America. But we know they have infused their responsibility because they're making laws and they do not have the responsibility or the right to do so. And the Congress and all sit back and let it happen. The Jewish Talmud tells us and records he was appointed by the Roman government, this one that had Paul smitten. He was a tyrant. He ruled like a tyrant. He was a glutton. And let me tell you, he was also killed by those Jewish zealots in AD 66 because he was so wicked and so far out from the teaching of the Word of God of what a priest ought to be. Third thing we also note a skilled attitude in verse 6. Paul was a man. The Lord opened his eyes on the Damascus road to see, but not only to see his need for salvation and following God, but also to see situations God provided for him to be a faithful witness. Listen to me. If we will allow God to open our eyes to see the things around us, we'll be much better off. So many times we go through life and we don't really look for the things that God would have us to be about. I'm reminded of that scripture this morning in our Sunday school lesson. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You think about that for just a moment. What did Jesus think about? What did Jesus dwell on? What was his motivating, driving force in the world while he lived? Huh? Being what God wanted him to be, doing what God would have him to do as he met people who were lost and doomed and damned, those who were hurting, those who had no help. He was there to help and to heal all he could when he could. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Could we do that? Should we do that? Yes, we must do that if we're going to be the Christian that God has desired us to be. That means that God will show us in the situations of life what he's provided for us, and we can be all that he would have. I believe the scripture says that we were, as Paul, as we look at him, it says that Jesus talked about this in Matthew 10, verse 16. He was wise as a serpent and also he was harmless as a dove. Wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. See, he was starting to share the absolute truth of the gospel. And when he got into trouble, that's what he was doing, sharing the absolute truth of the gospel. The absolute truth of the gospel. See, what happened here is he literally broke up the courtroom. Literally broke up the courtroom. I picked up something I thought was kind of hilarious and good, if I can find it here. Just when we are called to testify, or maybe if you have been already called to testify in a courtroom, you might need to be as smart as this policeman was, because it says that the lawyer asked him, says, "Officer, did you see my client fleeing the scene?" Answer, "No, sir. But I subsequently observed a person matching his description of the offender running several blocks away." Question, "Officer, Who provided this description? Answer, the officer who responded to the scene. Question, a fellow officer provided the description of this so-called offender. Do you trust your fellow officer? Answer, yes, sir, with my life. Question, with your life? Let me ask you this then, officer. Do you have a room where you change clothes in preparation for your daily activities? Yes, sir, we do. Question, and do you have lockers in that room? Answer, yes, sir, we do. Question, do you have locks on your lockers? He said, yes, sir, we do. Now, why is it, if you trust your fellow officers with your life, you find it necessary to lock your locker where you share with the other officers, officers you say you trust your life with? Answer, you see, sir, we share the building with the court complex, and sometimes lawyers have been known to walk through that room. Paul answered. He broke up courtroom that day because of an answer. He saw the situation. He saw the situation, and he took the opportunity. If we look at this, we see that in and through what the gospel teaches us, and when we think about the overall scope of the gospel, there are three theological clarifications of the gospel. Three theological clarifications. We need to realize that Christianity disturbs plenty. Just look around today. Look at all this mess that's going on. This is what it's all about. It's in opposition to the will and the word of God. In opposition to the Christian view and teaching of God. As the brother Ibe brought out this morning. Christianity disturbs plenty. Also, Christianity divides many. That's why we have so many churches today. Some teaching all kind of isms and schisms and itches and wases and wasms. Christianity divides many. But let me tell you something else. Christianity also delivers any. Any who will submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, they can find deliverance from sin. They can be set free from the penalty of sin and also what is to follow. There are also four opinions about Christ. Some see him as a legend, a myth that's passed down from generation to generation. That's the way some see him. Some see him as a lunatic. He claimed to be God, but he was crazy like David Koresh. You know, the wacko from Waco. But then there's those also who see him as a liar. Bold-faced deception, knowing he cannot be the only way to heaven. That's what a bunch of them are saying today. That's why you got to be tolerant with them. You can't say and be bold and say, Jesus is the only way to God. Because we use that term, God, very big and very broad. And so you can come to God any way you want to. We've got some churches that preaching that and teaching that. But there's something else also. We need to realize that some see him as Lord. Not a legend, not a lunatic, not a liar, but they see him as Lord. They really see him for who he is. I hope and pray you do. Because he is Lord of all, whether you recognize it or not. He is Lord of all. So as we look at this, we see what Paul was saying as he used the opportunity. Used the opportunity. Fourth, in closing, we see a divided jury in verses 7 through 10. Look at the word dissension. The term means arising up, not in praise and adoration, but arising up in anger and discord, trying to upset everything and everyone. If you turn back to Acts 22, verse 22, you can read something like this. It says this, and they gave him audience unto this word. In other words, they were joined together as they listened to him, but as he said this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Meaning as he talked about going to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. Yes, now the story has changed. They're everyone against him. All of them's against him. In verse 7, the word divided. The word divided there means to rend by tearing apart. To rend. Look what it says. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Note verse 9. It says, there arose a great cry. The term there comes out of the terminology and the vernacular as a woman in travail giving birth, the birth pains, and because of those pains being so great, she cries and she screams at the top of her voice, crying out. This is what they were doing. Divided by rending. That's what they wanted to do. Rend him apart. Paul, tear him apart. Verse 10d shows the situation completely out of hand by the religious establishment. But let me tell you something. The situation never gets out of hand with God. Never. We look at things around today and we see all this mess that's going on. So much chaos and turmoil and so much, I don't know what you'd call it. I do too. I know what you call it. You call it E-V-I-L, evil, because that's what it is. It's not demonstrations. It's hoodlumism is what it is. Tearing up someone else's or something else. It's evil. But the thing about it is, it's because people are dissatisfied, or they think they're dissatisfied. Let me tell you, I got news for you. There are a bunch of them that probably would never be satisfied. But the thing about it is we see the situation completely out of hand by the religious establishment. But you know what? Even in those kind of situations, God uses individuals. God uses people. There's a story told of a teenager put in prison in Asia. He was preaching or witnessing on the streets, and they put him in prison. And he would not leave prison under the situation or stipulation that they placed upon him that he could not speak anymore or he would be put to death. So he would not leave the prison. And in the next 30 days, he won 40 of those prisoners to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what you call the title of the message, Courage in the Midst of Trial. God help us to be open and submissive and willing to do what God would have us to do. As we look at this, it's not a thing about knowing Him in our head, it's knowing Him in our heart. And there's a vast difference. A lot of people need an 18-inch conversion from their head to their heart. Because many people have a head knowledge about Him, what they think about Him, but they do not know Him for who He really is. Do you know Him for who He really is? See, He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your defender. He wants to be the one to deliver you. He wants to be, as the psalmist said, that refuge in the times of storm. He wants to be the one who holds you and takes you and become your friend, your very close friend, if you will allow Him to. Jesus is all the world to me. Is He all the world to you? Many times people ask me just how I'm feeling. I look at them and say I'm better than I deserve. And it makes me often wonder my reason for the answer. It's the joy of the Lord inside. He's the one I serve. I'm doing better, better than I deserve. On a rugged cross of Calvary, He proved what I was worth. Every day I'm going to praise Him for showing grace and mercy. He chose to be a sacrifice. Now I'm living a brand new life. I'm doing better, better than I deserve. If this is not your story, you're feeling down and blue. The devil has you bound and there's nowhere to turn. Well, in the name of Jesus, these chains can be broken. With faith, believe, you'll find five little simple words. I'm doing better, better than I deserve. On the rugged cross of Calvary, He proved what I was worth. Every day I'm going to praise Him for showing grace and mercy. He chose to be a sacrifice. Now I'm living a brand new life. I'm doing better, better than I deserve. Aren't you? Let's pray. Father, we come to thank You and to honor You and to praise You because, Lord, we thank you that we do not get what we deserve. We praise you because you made provision for us. And that provision meant an old rugged cross where your Son gave us all, his very all, so that we could know what it means to have a right relationship with you. God, how awesome that is to think about being born into the family of God, to have that unique relationship with the Father, to realize the benefits of that, Lord, is beyond our comprehension. We cannot comprehend all the benefits of that. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you've made possible for us. And if there's one here that has never trusted you as Lord and Savior, may this be the day and the hour that they say yes to you. Father, do the work that only you can through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, help us to capitalize on the things of life, the opportunities, the situations of life, that we can be the witness you'd have us to be. I thank you, Lord, for those opportunities, and would you help us